let's listen for the word of God as it comes to us from the third chapter of Matthew. It's not a fun scripture, so buckle your seatbelts. And in those days, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea, proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come." This was the one that the prophet Isaiah spoke of when he said, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight the path." Now John was wearing the clothing of camel's hair and the leather belt around his waist, and the food he ate was locust and wild honey. Then the people of Jerusalem and all Judea were going out to him, and all the region along the Jordan, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw that many of the Pharisees and Sadducees were coming to him for baptism, he said, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee the wrath to come? Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Do not presume to say, 'Our father is Abraham,' for I tell you that God could raise up from these stones children of Abraham. Even now the axe is laying to the root of the tree, and every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, for there is one coming after me, more powerful, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. The winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, and he will gather his wheat into the granary, and the chaff will be burned in the unquenchable fire." The word of life. Thanks be to God. This is not exactly the kind of text that I think we should be reading this time of year. Those boys who put the lectionary together, every year, it's the apocalypse, the first Sunday of Advent, and then John the Baptist, the second Sunday. And sometimes you have to deal with John the Baptist two or three times. There is an alternative text, and it is found in Isaiah. And it's a much better text. Had I been smart, I would have read that. It's this. This can get us in the mood for Christmas, right? "The righteous shall be his belt around his waist, and the faithful the belt around his loins. The wolf shall lie down with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid. The calf and the lion will all be together, and a child will lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together. The lion will eat straw like the ox. The nursing child will lay over the hole of the asp, and the winged child will put their hand on the otter's den, and it will not hurt them or be destroyed. This will be on the mountain of the Lord." Now, this is the text I should have chosen. But no, I have to go with John the Baptist. But you can't get to the Isaiah part of this peaceful mountain without first going through John the Baptist. At the First Presbyterian Church in Lawrence, Kansas, it's one of those kind of ugly 70s churches, but right in the middle of the sanctuary, the architect did something astonishing. He put a 10-foot cross right in the middle of the sanctuary. I've gone there for meetings, Presbyterian meetings, and when I'd have to talk to someone, I would go, and the cross just kept getting in the way. And I'd have to go around the cross. And I'd go to meet someone over there, and then I'd have to go around that stupid cross again. And then it occurred to me, the cross needs to get in the way. The cross needs to get in the way of our lives. And John the Baptist needs to get in the way of our lives on the way to the manger. He needs to call us to repentance. But personally, I'd just like to put John the Baptist and leave him in the third chapter of Matthew. except for there are times that I want to bring John the Baptist out. Probably every time our governor opens her mouth. And can I just say publicly that I am thankful for Mary, because I came from Kansas and I thought to that point that Sam Brownback was the dumbest governor in the nation. And then I get to Oklahoma and find out that he has a dumb little sister. And every time she wants to do one of her homophobic things, or every time she wants to cut the budget and make the poor pay for it, every time she wants to do that, I want to pull John the Baptist out and go, sick her. Go get her, John. Every time I hear of a multinational corporation getting more and more money from our federal government while our federal government cuts food stamps, I want to put John the Baptist in my Honda Civic, and I want to drive to Washington, D.C., and I want to go into the House, and I want to say, sick him, John. Go get him. Go get him, boy. Open your mouth with you brood of vipers and hypocrites written all over your lips. Go get him. Every time I see injustice, I want to pull John the Baptist out of the third chapter of Matthew, and I just want to sick him. I was writing this thing about the inequity in our society. I had all of my sociology books out, and then I saw this clip on YouTube. Phil, can you play that right now? I saw it on Facebook and on YouTube, and this explains it better than I think I ever can. Can you play that? Indulge me for 5 minutes.
There's a chart.
John the Baptist needs to show up to our politicians who are paid by the wealthiest to create more wealth for them. Yeah, I want to pull John the Baptist out of the third chapter of Matthew and sick John the Baptist on all of those people, Monsanto, Exxon, all of those people. And just when John the Baptist is right at their throats, telling them what they should do and how to make the world more perfect, John turns and looks at me. The fire in his eyes look into my heart. Victor, let's look at your checkbook and see where you're spending your money. Let's put up all the words that you've said, words of encouragement and words of ridicule. John the Baptist looks at me and I back off, because he says those hard words that I don't want to hear, but on the way to Bethlehem, I need to hear those words that say, repent. Amen.